You know, for many of us, there are some things in our lives that aren't quite right, and our consciences nag us. Well, Jesus wants to fix that, right, if we let him. And it struck me as I was praying this morning that in the midst of the confusion and doubt after the resurrection, Jesus appeared in the midst of his disciples and said three times, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And that's very comforting, isn't it? We want that peace. But as I'm laying there praying with these readings this morning, it led me to wonder, well, what does he mean by peace? When we think of it, we often think of it as an absence of war and conflict. But the biblical notion of peace, shalom, it's more than an absence of conflict. It's also the presence of something. It's not just the absence of conflict, it's the presence of something. Completeness, order, wholeness, everything in its right place. The word shalom describes any complicated thing with many parts, wherein all the parts are in the correct place, functioning well together. So a brick wall with no broken bricks that's perfectly straight and level is described as with some variant of shalom. Likewise, relationships between countries that, you know, sure, have an absence of war, but also have the presence of good relations. They're working together. That's shalom. Likewise, in our own personal relationships, in our own lives, shalom is the absence of fighting and conflict, but also the presence of right order in our relationships. Everything functioning rightly according to its purpose, according to God's plan. In our lives of faith, too, shalom, the peace Jesus wants us to have, it's not just an absence of fighting, of opposition to the faith, but also the presence of everything in our lives according to God's plan. And that made me think of a few ways that this peace that Jesus desires is lacking in our relationships and lives. And the first ways that came to my mind where this shalom is lacking is in our adult man-woman relationships. Here's what I mean. Well, let's say a Catholic is in a sexual relationship outside of marriage. Well, there might not, and I hope that there is not, be conflict. There's no conflict. But something's lacking there, isn't it? We know there's something wrong there. Sex outside of marriage is against God's commandment. Something's missing. There's not the fullness of this peace. Or what about a Catholic marrying outside of the Catholic Church, say, at a Lutheran church or at the courthouse or something? Unless some special permission is given by the bishop, well, this isn't a valid marriage in the eyes of God. I mean, we believe that we're Catholics, and the Catholic church is where we turn for marriage. It's the fullness of the faith. It's the church Jesus established. If we're Catholic, why would we go elsewhere? And if someone does marry outside the church, it puts them out of communion with God and his church. Again, hopefully there's no fighting in that relationship between the persons or with the church. But shalom, peace, there's something missing. Something's lacking. Something's out of place, and people know it, and it bothers their conscience. It nags them. Or perhaps people just live together or even have children, but they don't get married. Again, hopefully there's no fighting in this relationship. Hopefully there's no hatred of the church because it's gospel message it proclaims. But still, something's lacking there. And I think the people know it. It's nagging their conscience. They're just living in this sort of uneasy place day by day. But what about people who are divorced and remarried outside the church? Well, Jesus is very clear about this. And there's really no wiggle room there if we're going to be faithful to the gospel. It constitutes adultery and it is sinful. Marriage is until death, and it's way too complicated to address in a homily. But a lot of marriages, I know they're not valid for reasons like the ones I just mentioned. The church has ways to investigate these things. Annulment investigations can help clear up situations where people think their previous attempts at marriage, for whatever reason, weren't valid. The Catholic Church has authority here from Jesus to make judgments on these things. This is Jesus' church. But as it stands, divorced and remarried people, again, hopefully there's not conflict there. Hopefully there's no hatred here in the church for them. But still, something's lacking there, right? Something's out of order. And people know it. It's nagging their consciences, but they're living with it day by day. Or another common thing is like the use of contraception. Okay, people do that. They live with that day by day. But again, they know the church is opposed to it for some reason, but they don't investigate it. They just live with it. But there's that nagging thing that something's wrong, something's missing, the shalom, the peace. There's something lacking to the order. Or to change the subject a bit, like Thomas, maybe people doubt their Catholic faith. Maybe there's not open hostility to it, but there's doubt. Something's lacking again. Something more needs to be there for real peace. Or if someone rejects a teaching of the Catholic Church, they just kind of ignore that. But it's there. They know there's something not quite right. It's nagging them. Or if someone's Catholic but don't feel like they should take Holy Communion, even if there's no major obstacles like the ones I mentioned related to marriage, there's something there, a lack of peace. It's something that we shouldn't just live with. We should try to seek out a solution, address the problem. John wrote in our second reading that the love of God is this. The love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So, we want to love God. We got to keep his commandments. People complain when the church, or I as its representative, point out things like this, challenging things that invite us to look at our lives and make changes, real changes. Those can be hard, yes. But what's the alternative? To live in a state in our life where something's missing, it's that nagging conscience. Well, if we don't address it, it could lead us to hell. That's not shalom. That's not peace. People want the church to leave them alone, but the church never forces this on anyone. No one has to listen to what we say. But the church is proposing the gospel, which is challenging. Why do we propose it? Because it's the path to peace, to shalom. In the midst of the confusion of our lives, Jesus shows up and he says, "Peace be with you." Path to that peace, to that completeness, to that right order, to the life where we no longer have that nagging voice of our conscience telling us we ought to fix something someday. Well, the solution is to fix it, to alter our lives so they are in accord with his commandments. And the church is here to help you. If you don't understand something, don't reject it. Dig in, study it, learn about it. I'm here to help you in any way that I can to set things right so that you and I can live in this peace, this shalom that Jesus desires for each of us. Amen.